You know, every other day would be a good brand for like for a very strong cigar.
Oh, this way it's like,
it's like you can't smoke this every day, but you can smoke every other day. You know, we're giving you ideas over here.
And for me, we need like the every hour cigar.
Yeah, that's more like it.
You are tuning in to the Cigar Guys podcast, where aficionados and newcomers alike gather to explore the vast cigar universe. Meet your host, Alexander Gonzalez, Mark Nikolai, his big little brother, Zachary Nikolai, and Jared Burrows. So sit back, light up, and let's get the conversation started. But first, a quick word from our sponsors.
All right, guys, we're here at Cigar Hustler in Deltona, Florida, one of the longest cigar shops in the area. Great humidor, actually. They got a lot of cigars here. But more importantly, they got the Basis cigar here. So make sure you come and pick up some Basis cigars here at Cigar Hustler. They got a bar. They got nice seating. We also have a cut and light here on March 15th, which is a Friday. So make sure you put that in your calendar and come see us there. All the cigar guys will be here. We'll be smoking Basis cigars, you know, having some drinks and everything like that. So we'll see you there. But make sure you come in the meantime. Check these guys out. Say hello. Tell them the Cigar Guys sent you.
All right. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Cigar Guys. If you are joining us for the first time, make sure you subscribe so you can stay updated when we upload new episodes. If you have been with us for a while, thank you for your support. Welcome back. But we are here with the usual suspects. We've got, of course, Mark Nikolai. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We got Jared Burrows.
How's it going, Alex?
Fantastic.
Great to be back. Great to see you again.
You guys are so nice today. That's crazy. Zachary Nikolai as well.
You know, someone's got to be nice. You were a little on edge earlier.
I'm always on edge, so, you know, it's whatever. But we have a special guest joining us today, all the way from Esteli, and he's going to be talking to us about his cigar brand. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. So my name is Andreas. I own or co-own a brand called Everyday Cigar Day. I am based in Esteli, Nicaragua. That's where we make our cigars and then obviously distribute them or sell them out of in the U.S. And yeah, I'm looking forward to having a chat with you guys and just, you know, answering the questions.
Of course. Yeah. So real quick, I'm going to go around. I am smoking the Barber Pole cigar. Zach is also smoking the Barber Pole. And then we have Jared is smoking the Maduro.
Of course.
Jared always smokes the Maduros. And then you're the Habano, Mark?
I got the Habano, yeah, correct.
Very nice. So we're kind of trying a bunch of different stuff. No one wanted to smoke in Connecticut, but that's okay. I will ask the first question, though. Which wrappers did you use for the Barber Pole?
Barber Pole's got a mix of Connecticut and Habano.
Very nice, very nice. So introduce the viewers to your product, because we talked a little bit about it. It's a very unique business model. It's a business model that I haven't heard of it until you mentioned it to me. So go ahead and introduce Everyday Cigar Day and how the business model works.
So Everyday Cigar Day is a direct-to-consumer brand. It was set up, obviously, purely because we don't really have a physical presence in the U.S. And also, we wanted to obviously offer a slightly different way we sell it to the end consumer. By obviously selling it directly to consumer, obviously we bypass quite a few markups along the way. So people are paying for the cigar without the wholesale or retail markups on there. So you literally buy it from the people that actually make the cigars.
That's very unique, yeah.
Yeah, we make the cigars here in Esteli. We ship them ourselves. We import them ourselves into the U.S. And then we do have a warehouse that manages all of our stock and gets shipped, all the stock shipped out from a warehouse in Arizona.
Oh, that's very nice, basically. Obviously, the website's built by us. It's all marketed by us. If you check out all the social media outlets, all the pictures there are done by me. So we control the full process of it. And the good thing about it, people can who buy the cigars, they can actually, if they get in touch with us, they actually speak to the people that own the brand, which you don't really get with many other brands.
That's very cool. Yeah. So I know that we got sent the box, the sampler box of 16 Toros, and the MSRP on that is what? Remind me.
Toro is $89.99.
Right. I think so. So you do the math. I mean, you're paying what? On average, you know, looking through your products, I think it's anywhere between $4 and $6dollars a cigar. Yeah.
That is correct, yes.
Which, I mean, that is a great price, and it kind of fits your motto, because this would be a good everyday stick for people to smoke.
Well, people actually, believe it or not, they kind of, you get mixed reactions, because people are seeing the prices and they think it's just too cheap, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, but yeah.
The reason it's cheap is because we sell it direct to consumer. So as I said, you know, the additional markups are just not there. So we sell the cigars at the price what it's supposed to be, right?
Right.
Well, you know, if anyone complains that it's too cheap, you could just tell them, well, I could charge you double. You know?
Doesn't have to be that obviously cheap. Because the because model is so unusual model, really. I mean, no one really, I mean, what other stores do you know that actually make and sell cigars direct to consumer?
No, yeah, none. And there is a very, it's a very new market, you know, that you're getting into. I mean, we've seen it before with like Appliance Direct, you know, direct with a, you know, with appliances, direct stuff being sent to you. You're cutting down the cost. But that's in the cigar industry, you know, yeah, that's something that, you know, you need to do like a lot of informing people. Thank you.
Well, that's exactly what we're doing here today. And, you know, it's all about spreading the message and getting people to know this kind of model. But as I said, it's kind of, you know, we don't really have a physical presence in the U.S. So that means, you know, there isn't a person that can go door to door from lounge to lounge, you know, and ask people to stock your product. And hence why we've just taken a route we've taken. And but we believe, you know, we also have the edge in the industry where we offer direct to consumer. And that obviously all these savings are passed on to the end user. And I mean, probably not many doing it because people just don't live in Nicaragua like I do.
Yeah. Very true. And you have quite a variety. We mentioned the four different wrapper variations that you offer. And there's also plenty of different size variations as well. I think, what is it? Is it 8 different sizes?
So we started the business with our core line, which is an everyday cigar. So that's what we kicked off from. And obviously that comes in four wrappers, which is Connecticut, Habano, San Andres, Maduro, and then a Barb Pole. And all the varieties also come in 7 different sizes. So that's our core line that we started off from, which is basically a white line. And then we will be adding the additional ones, which next one coming up will be the silver line, which much more premium offering. Obviously, we will be sourcing cigars also from different factories, or when we come across some you know, rare finds like the one I'm smoking right now. People have been asking for Lanceros for God knows how long, and then suddenly these popped up. He's been rolled about 3 years ago, and we found a stock of these, and person just wants to sell it, and these are so damn good.
Yeah, I mean, every time...
I really don't feel like selling these, but we'll probably have to do that.
Yeah, especially when you're in the cigar industry, you know that there's a specific group of people, a percentage of people that are diehard Lancero fans, and they say, when are you going to release a Lancero? We want a Lancero. And I think it's great to offer. The only unfortunate part is that it hasn't really, it doesn't have as much attention from the general market. But I mean, yeah, when you smoke a Lancero, it's a fantastic experience because that, you know, you get more wrapper to filler ratio, you get more flavors out of it, as you know. I mean, that's like, well, you I said. I guess
the trouble is with the Lanceros is just people don't like making them because of the shape of it, and because a lot of the time the construction is very, very, very difficult to get right.
Right.
And there isn't that many available for that reason. But, you know, it's very rare to find a really, really good Lancero, and that's why. But I can tell you now, this is phenomenal.
So why didn't we get sent any of the Lanceros, you know?
Yeah, I'm
because,
too.
Because he's smoking them all, that's why.
Well, because they're all still here. We're still waiting for the packaging, and we're still waiting on a few things to... waiting for the business partner to come over to Nicaragua as well, so he needs to smoke them. I mean, I've already gone through probably 50 of them, so you better come quick before they run out.
Exactly, yeah. Tell us, too, a little bit about how you personally got started smoking cigars. What's your, you know, background story on that?
So the first time I smoked a cigar, it was in 2018. I used to live in London. In my previous life, I used to be a concierge. I used to run concierge teams in 4 or 5 star hotels in London. And then one day I was invited to a cigar tasting event, like a pairing event with the champagne, I believe. And I smoked my first Cuban, and it just completely blew my mind. And you know, I just fell in love with the leaf so much that, you know, I dropped what I was doing and just decided to get into the cigar industry. You know, at that time I just knew nothing about cigars, and then, you know, it's but it's just don't know. I just wanted to find out everything there is to know about it, and then I ended up being invited to a trip to Nicaragua a friend of mine, good friend of mine called Roy Sommers. He's a managing director for Davidoff UK.
Oh, yeah.
And he was organizing an 11-day trip to Nicaragua. And then, yeah, we just came. And on that trip, I met my business partner, Paul. Paul is from England as well. But he's based in the US. And, you know, he's been into cigars for a long time. And we met on that trip. And, just immediately clicked. And... yeah. After that, when we came back to UK after the trip, it was you know, the first lockdown, 8 months of locked in the house, and then the second lockdown was coming up, and you know, we met with Paul, and just Paul said, you know, you really want to get into the cigar industry, you know, so. You know, probably would be a good idea for you to, instead of sitting through the second lockdown, why don't you just go to Nicaragua again, spend 3 to 6 months, you know, learn a bit of Spanish, learn a bit of tobacco, and then, you know, you just come back after the lockdown's finished, and then, you know, you're going to get yourself into the cigar industry somewhere in the UK. You know, at the start, it sounded like a crazy idea, but, you know, I slept on it, and then I'm like, well, I've got nothing to lose, really.
Yeah, like, what else are you going to do during lockdown?
I'm divorced, have no kids. You know, second lockdown coming up, and I'm like, nah, I'm going to just sit here. So, yeah, I go on a plane, came to Nicaragua, and then, yeah, never left. It's been 3 years now.
Oh, wow. So I'm assuming you like it.
I absolutely love it. You know, I was just sick paying, you know, full retail, you know, $20 to $30 a stick in the UK. So I just moved closer to the source.
I was in the UK this past December, and man, it is killer, those prices out there. It's, you know, I was getting it's Cubans insane. For $30-$40, and those were cheap.
Yeah, that $30-$40. I went back to UK last August, and I looked at some menus in those places that they sell them, and the Cubans are just insanely expensive right now.
It's absolutely crazy. So how long have you officially been in business then?
Well, since I mean, depends where you measure it from. From the time I smoked the first cigar, or from the time we started selling the cigars as such. Or, I mean, I've been here for 3 years. Obviously, from arrival, I met the previous factory owner, Roniel, and then, you know, we just started working together. I started spending time in the factory there. I was helping the factory out, and then started, getting clients for the factory. So yeah, I mean, I'd say 3 years, like, working in the industry.
So is it just you and your friend that started, just the both of you?
Yeah. And Paul and I just, yeah, there's a long story of us. Obviously, we met on the first trip, and then he came back to visit me in Nicaragua, and then he fell ill. He nearly died here in Nicaragua, so we had to bust him out of the hospital, bring him back, you know, from the dead. And that kind of created a bond between us where we decided, you know, and both of us really, really love cigars, and I'm here. And so we should come up with our own brand as such, and that's it, you know, and that's so, how Every Day was born.
So you both met in Nicaragua, or you met in London?
Well, we met on the first trip to Nicaragua, and then we just kept contact while he was in London. Yeah,
I love the name. So, how did you come up with it?
Well, Every Day Cigar Day is, before it came a brand, I just created. While I was in London, obviously, I used to smoke a lot of cigars, and rather than posting, all the cigar content on my personal Instagram, I just decided to create a separate one. Hmm. And because I was having a cigar every single day, I just, what am I going to call the Instagram account? Every Day is Cigar Day. And then once we decided that we're going to create a brand, we sat down and we just thought of the names, because my initials AP, his initials PA. So we just thought we're going to play with the letters and do that kind of thing. But I said, listen, I mean, that page has already been up there for a while, you know, there's quite a few followers, and the brand kind of fits of what we're trying to do, you know, direct to consumer, everyday cigars. And I said, why don't we just turn that into a brand? And we just both agreed that it's a go ahead.
It's pretty funny when you hear all the stories about how people get started, and a lot of the stories end up being something along the lines of, you know, it all just fell into place. Like, there wasn't really a plan put into place in the beginning, but step by step, it started coming together. So kind of like you said, you had the Instagram account for your personal use, and then you said, well, let's just turn it into a business account. So that's like the start of everything kind of coming together.
And it's just the things that we've gone through together. It just kind of brought us closer. And then we just kind of said, look, both of us, love smoking cigars, and when we get together, we just chain smoke that stuff. He brings cigars, I've got cigars, and we're just like on 7 to 10 a day easy. And it just, this only makes sense there. Yeah.
Only 7 to 10?
He's trying to limit himself. I mean, yeah, 7 a day, that's good. Jared, you gotta catch up.
Yeah, you only have 5.
Well, that's never mind. If once you go to the factory and, you know, you do new blends and you try the raw tobacco, and then you just lose the count.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you say, well, look, it's my job. I have to smoke this many cigars.
Well, somebody has to test the tobacco, test the cigars.
Yeah. Exactly. So basically, you said you were there for 3 years. So you had, I mean, let's say, 2 years of experience, or 2 years of building the business before you officially launched? You said you launched about a year ago officially.
Yes. So we started, yeah, I mean, officially we launched and picked the most random date, because everything kind of fell into place, because we were setting up the business. It took us probably, I don't know, 8-9 months. And then everything was ready on the 13th of February. And then we decided we're not going to wait. And then we just launched it on the Valentine's Day last year, on the 14th of February. We just said, you know what? No time to waste. Let's do it.
Yeah. And I do want to say that I think your box is very nice. It's very cool. It's got like a cigar leaf around it. Who came up with that?
I kind of sketched it up, and then with a bit of help of a designer, he kind of put it together. And we wanted to keep it simple, you know, everyday cigars. Obviously, wooden boxes is additional cost, and yeah. and because it's an everyday kind of cigar, so we just wanted to keep it simple. Had it made up, you know, and yeah, I think it looks really good.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's sleek and you know, black, but it's also got the, like Mark said, I mean, the tobacco leaf on it, which is like, you know, the fine details. It's very nice. And yeah, like you said, I mean, it's going to be a lot more affordable than having to get a wooden box. But I think too, I mean, for the business model, it's perfect. You get your shipment in, you get the sampler pack, or you get, you know, whatever ones you want to order. I also like too, you put the name on the cellophane. That's very unique too.
It is. We so got used to smoking the cigars because, as you can imagine, here in Esteli, is, you know, everyone walks around with the cigars, the new blends. They always give you cigars, and none of it is banded, you know. So we just kind of always look at the wrapper and let the wrapper talk the talk.
Yeah.
Is it great for the social media? It's not. People are like showing off the bands and what they smoke. But we, again, wanted to keep it simple and just kind of kept the bands off. Not for the cost of it, really, but it's just we wanted to people to appreciate what it just looks like and just enjoy. The cigar bands, it just makes you judge the cigar before you even light it, really.
No, that's very true, yeah. I mean, you can have a great quality band and the cigar might not taste good, but then you could have a band that's, you know, very minimalistic and the cigar would be fantastic. Yeah. So that's when the marketing comes into play.
Exactly. And I mean, saying that, the first batch was without bands, but everything else following is going to have the band, and some of the cigars we already have packed. The second batch is already coming with the bands.
Can you
it does help, to be honest. Yeah.
Can you give us a little sneak peek on the camera what the bands look like?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Oh, nice.
He beat me with that question. The next question I was going to ask is, you know, will your silver line have bands or any of the future lines? So
the premium, yeah.
Yeah.
Moving forward, all the cigars are going to have bands.
Nice. And I will say, even though this is an inexpensive brand, it feels premium. It feels very premium, like with the box, and the cigar has great construction.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah, I like that.
It's the same everyday logo. The core line is going to be in white. Obviously, the silver line is going to be silver writing, and then we're also going to have the gold line, which is the most exciting part.
Very nice, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Mark, like you said, the construction is very good. I've got a nice ash going on here. It's not a flaky ash either. It's very well put together. The draw is good. The burn's good. So it's definitely high quality. So the price does not, you know, necessarily, for most people, I guess, it's not reflective of a cheap cigar. It's an inexpensive cigar, but it is a high quality cigar.
Well, yeah, it's. I mean, the price is the is it's a premium product. It's a long filler cigar. Mm-hmm. It's all the tobaccos that we use in all the other blends. The wrappers are all exactly the same as used in ultra premium, so there's nothing cheap about it. The reason is the price what it is because it's direct. We skipped a few steps in terms of this selling. So
cigars direct.
Cigars, we're the real cigars direct. what's that website called? The bundles direct or cigars? What is it direct?
Oh, I don't know.
There's so many of them.
Yeah,
but yeah. So, and two, with, you know, anyone, like you said earlier, anyone that can, you know, says, oh, the price is cheap or whatever, your new lines, the, you know, the silver and the gold, I'm assuming they're going to be a little more pricey, so they could, you know, they could buy those.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the silver line, the first blend is going to be our blend. We just kind of putting it together. That's that was supposed to be ready, but we had a bit of a delay because one of the materials wasn't actually up to scratch and what we needed, so we have to source it again and find it, but it's almost finished. So we're gonna hopefully release that
Well, it's always something. Something always comes up.
The thing is, the trouble is, in this business, you just can't rush things. It's not something that you can, you know. Now we've got it, we just put it together, ship it off, and then that's it. No, the cigars, it's just you need to roll it, you need to try it, you need to give them a rest, you need to test it again, you see if it's right, if it's not right, do it again. And it's just the process is really just long, you know? Yeah. It's very, need a lot of patience.
Well, like you said, too, you know, you can't rush it because, too, let's say you rush a product and it's not up to par, it's not, you know, the quality you want. If someone tries that cigar and it's bad quality, that may stop them from trying your product ever again.
First time impressions.
Correct. So you want to make sure that once it's done and make sure it's 100%. Well, you know, handmade product probably will never be 100%, as we all know, but, right. You know, get it to 100 as close as possible. But, you know, we're in the right hands to do it. So, yeah, there's interesting things going on. I was based at the other factory, you know, and now where if people thought that our story, you know, wasn't crazy enough, now it's gone even crazier because we are in the process of actually opening our own factory.
Wow. Congratulations.
So hopefully, you know, this year at some point, we've got a new factory partner. His name is Steven Hernandez, and yeah, we're gonna call it Tabacalera Hernandez, and we'll see how it goes.
That's awesome, man. Very exciting, I'm sure.
Very. Also, we've been actually just last week went to see some land, you know, for growing tobacco. Land is not really readily available around, especially around here in Esteli, because you know, the big guys got it all.
Right.
You know, you're struggling to buy or rent an acre or two. But we're now, I've got a friend of mine that's been inherited a lot of land that was used for farming. And he always wanted to get into the growing the tobacco, but he just, he didn't have the right people to do it with. And now that, you know, we're off to do our own thing, and we're, he said, if you guys want to use the land, then here we go.
Very cool.
We're going to go next week, dig up some soil samples, get them tested, see what the soil is like. Yeah. But, I mean, the farm looks incredible. We've got a over 100-year-old farmhouse that, you know, if we are going to use it, then we might make it into a kind of a guest house and bring people in. And, yeah.
It's very exciting. It is exciting, yeah. And you bring up a good point, too, because, you know, not only is the land so limited, but the amount of land you can actually use for, you know, cultivating tobacco is even more limited. And like you said, you know, you got to do some tests and make sure that the land and the soil is going to be good for growing cigars. Because, you know, just because you have land over there doesn't mean it's going to be suitable for growing a good product.
Exactly. But I mean, the location of it, everything is just, and it's tobacco or anything. On most of the actual site, nothing's been grown at all. So it's what's called the virgin land.
Mm.
So it's never been used for the tobacco growing. So it should be extremely, extremely rich.
Oh. Very cool.
We'll see. That's in the next few weeks. We'll find out more. And
yeah.
We'll probably in any case, we might just grow a small patch and then process the tobacco and see what it tastes like and just take it from there.
Nice. So next podcast will be at the farm.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Set up in the guest house, you know, get the podcast going, update on your progress. That'd be fantastic. I mean, it seems too like you're moving pretty quickly, which is a good thing. I mean, this business can take some time, but the progress you're moving at, you know, it seems like you're doing great.
Well, when you set your mind to it, you know, sky's the limit, you know, and I came here for tobacco and that's what I'm doing day in, day out. And I absolutely love it. You know, it's just a testament that, you know, if you're not born in a tobacco family and well, it's still possible if you want it bad enough.
Very true. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be in this industry too, you got to you gotta love it. This is a very, very hard industry to be in if you don't enjoy what you're doing.
Oh yeah, you have to love it. But no, not only that. Obviously, it helps to actually physically move to this country. You know, as someone told me, you know, a lot of the brands out there, they just essentially are marketing companies because they don't make their own cigars. Somebody else makes them, and they just put their own band and sell them, which is great. But what I'm doing is I'm actually getting my hands dirty on the ground here. I live in Esteli, I breathe Esteli, and you know, doing what is necessary to come up with the best thing that can be.
So how is it over there? How do you like living in Esteli?
Interesting.
Definitely a culture
shock. At the beginning, there's been, you know, when you come from London and especially five-star kind of hotel background where everything's, you know, like a military camp, and you know, mm-hmm. you're trying to the speed that everything moves and gets done, and yeah, in here is a bit more relaxed.
Very more relaxed.
I was first year, I was struggling. Firstly, I was honestly ripping my hair out. You know, if you need to get something done, it's just like tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Everything's tomorrow, and it's like, no, there's no tomorrow. But now, when I say tomorrow, well, it is what it is. We'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's crazy the culture difference. You know, like the timing. You know, my dad's from Venezuela, for example, and he always told me that, you know, if dinner was at 6, you're probably eating at 8:30 or 9. And that's just exactly how it is in South America.
You gotta get used to it. For me, it was difficult at the beginning, but yeah, you get used to it,
right?
For sure.
I'm sure it was. I mean, especially, you know, a lot of European countries, just the culture there, it's like right now, you know, you order your coffee, your coffee's already there. It's everything is like really fast paced.
Exactly. And here,
yeah, like I know whenever we go to like Kosovo or Albania, you know, over there it's a lot more relaxed. You know, the people will take a 2-hour lunch. You know, they'll go get coffee. It's like, oh, we got to go run these errands. It's like, okay, but we're gonna stop at the coffee shop first, and then you go sit down for an hour, 2 hours. You know, going through the day, and then yeah, it becomes into tomorrow.
Because that's
yeah.
Eastern Europe for you.
Yeah, it's Eastern Europe. Yeah, yeah.
You go to the West, and it's a little, you know, now I need it now.
Yeah, but other than that, you know, it's Esteli, you know, aesthetically, it might not be the most beautiful town in Nicaragua, but, you know, all the factories here, tobacco, and that's what I'm here, and I absolutely love it, you know.
Yeah, how's the food?
Oh, really?
Food.
It's got to be better than England's food, you know.
patchy, to say the least, you know, there's few spots that, you know, we go to, but generally we do cook most of our food at home.
Gotcha. Yeah,
you know,
I will say, Zach, when I was in the UK, the food was actually pretty good, not gonna lie to you. You know, it breaking the stereotypes. People make fun of the breakfast
in London, the variety of the restaurants, and obviously the quality of them is just endless. Here it seems like
I mean,
there are towns, obviously they've got better culinary scenes. In Esteli is a bit, you know, limited, but you know, it's improving slowly.
Yeah, I mean, that's really like, I mean, even in America, you go to a small town, right? You're only gonna have, you know, 5-6 places to go eat.
Yeah.
But you know, where we live, you know, I could walk across the street and I got 5 restaurants I could choose from to go eat. You know, and with every culture around the world, you know, I just pick one. So yeah, I could kind of see where you're coming from. Do you cook a lot of like food from England over there? Is that usually where you cook?
Not really. Well, I'm actually I was born and raised in Lithuania, so I'm not England.
Oh, okay.
Dang.
I moved to England at the age of 19, and then I was in England for 18 years in total before moving to Nicaragua. So I'm actually Lithuanian.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
So every, you know, 18 or 19 years, you're moving to a different place is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I've got another 15 to be here before I go to Bahamas.
Oh, okay. And then we're going to figure out how to grow tobacco in the Bahamas.
Yeah, he's like, nah, I'm retiring over there. That's it.
Yeah. I'll probably just be, you know, on a beach, smoking my cigars.
Exactly, yeah. No, someone else can run the company. I'll smoke the rest of the cigars that we get.
Just give me all the Lanceros. I'll smoke them. Don't worry.
So a question that we normally ask our guests is, you know, besides obviously your own product, what are, you know, three cigars off the top of your head from other brands that were kind of like your go-to cigars? Like, you know, you go into the shop, and you look for this cigar, like this cigar is, you know, one of my favorites.
Probably number one choice for sure. And anything Plasencia makes, I'm a really, really big fan of it. And obviously, Nestor's been a big inspiration of my cigar journey. On a first trip, obviously, we spent the whole day in his factory riding his horses here in Esteli, and he was just kind of reassurance that I'm on the right path, and you know, the new direction in life, and that's what I want to do. And he's just such a phenomenal person, but not only that, he's a phenomenal tobacco grower and the cigar maker. That, yeah, I mean, Plasencia cigar, and especially Alma de Fuego. Yeah, it just stands out for me. Obviously, Padron. I really like Padron as well.
Yeah.
And probably a third one. Huh? Oh, yeah. I mean, Oliva, Melanio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They make it too.
That was the last cigar I smoked in the UK before I left. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't I just buy a Plasencia like yesterday?
I was gonna say the one, yeah, the Fuego as well.
Yeah, did you mention Fuego?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Number one, nice. All right.
Yeah. So, what do you think was better, Jared, the Lancero version or the Torpedo version that you had?
I didn't smoke it yet.
Oh, dang. Okay, never mind though.
Always the Lancero version is always better.
That's what I would say. Yeah, you know, it's very hard to find a variation that's better than a Lancero.
Yeah, I feel like the people that smoke cigars a lot tend to prefer the Lanceros.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a thinner ring gauge in general.
Yeah. I do prefer smaller ring gauges as well. I don't know. I used to smoke a lot of Gordos, you know, but it's just kind of as I'm progressed in smoking, I tend to choose. Toro is kind of my optimum size. I like the 52 or then slightly smaller ones. Yeah, I'm really liking those.
Yeah. You go through phases too. I mean, obviously, when you first start smoking, you go for something more traditional. Maybe it's a Robusto or a Toro. So you're kind of in the middle. Yeah. Then you progress. You go maybe smaller ring gauges. You get the Coronas and the Lanceros. And then sometimes, I recently went through a phase where I was, you know, shooting for like 56 or 58 just because that experience is a lot different than what you're used to smoking.
Yeah. The Gordos.
I agree.
Not quite that big, but, you know, almost there.
You're working way up.
But yeah, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about, you know, cigars is that there's so many different variations of the same product, the different wrappers, the different sizes. It's just, it's almost endless, and people are still, you know, innovating this industry to this day. There's always something new that's coming out.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. I mean, new business models, direct to consumer. That's really not a popular thing. I was going to ask you too. Do you know of any competition that's doing this as well? Or have you found anyone else that's doing, you know, basically farm to consumer?
I'm yet to find one.
No, I was going to say I don't know of one.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I've not seen a single one.
Because generally, yeah, the most traditional route, they would get, you know, manufactured in the factory. Then, you know, that's shipped over, handed over to wholesaler, then wholesaler will sell it to retailers, and then retailers and then sell it to
right. There's definitely plenty of middlemen in the process, you know?
Yeah, even with us, with our brand, you know, Like, we deal with a lot of middlemen, and then if we wanted to move into Europe, we would have to deal with another middleman just to sell for us, right? Because we're not allowed to. You need to go through an importer. You need to go through all this, you know.
I guess there's benefits to it as well, as if you hand that over to someone else. I mean, obviously, you can push larger volumes faster,
right?
You know, if you connect with a really good distributor, you know, they'll buy a bulk of your cigars in one go. Obviously, your margins are going to be smaller, I guess. But then, you know, they'll just sell it off quicker. So, you know, but we've just kind of decided that we're just going to stick to it and see how it goes. And it's just slowly progressing. It's just, we're now just at the phase where we just need to promote it, you know, speak to the guys like you and tell our story, because we do have an interesting one. And, mm-hmm. and yeah.
Well, yeah, and being unique in any industry, especially in this industry, is definitely helpful. So when people hear the story and say, okay, this is something that's different, it's, you know, it's not traditional, that helps you stand out. You know, Everyday Cigar Day, they ship directly from the farm to the consumer. You know, it's like the whole trend when restaurants were saying, you know, farm to table.
Yeah,
everyone was loving that. So anything that makes you unique is definitely going to be a big help for promoting your products.
Definitely. You know where it comes from, and you can actually talk to the people that actually make them too, which mm-hmm. is, you know, the other benefit that we offer. And, you know, if you contact us through the website or, you know, wherever, there's always going to be me at the other end who is directly involved in actually making the actual product. So
that's pretty awesome too. Yeah, I mean, because too, I mean, you're contacting someone from the lounge, that's another four people that, you know, are in between the actual product. If you contact the...
And essentially the owner of the cigar or the person that makes it can't take the direct responsibility for it.
Right, right.
It's just changed hands so many times that, you know, essentially is the lounge responsible for that product?
Right.
And how well kept and how looked after, because the person that made it made sure it's right, but what happened then afterwards is not really in his hands.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, as far as
we take the direct responsibility for it, because we made it and we sold it to you.
Right.
So anything wrong with it, then, you know, you come back to me.
Yeah. So your time down there, have you tried rolling a cigar yourself yet?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I did try it, but yeah, I just tried it. that part is best left to the professionals, you know.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. I have tried it, and I can tell you, I mean, that it's really difficult, really, to get it right.
Yeah, I mean, people that don't realize that it is a very, very unique craftsmanship, and it's very hard. You can't just sit down and roll the tobacco leaves together. It's not gonna look like this,
you know. Don't forget, it's extremely repetitive. So I'm the kind of person, I just can't do the same thing like that just over and over and over again. But some do,
right?
You know, and they obtain that. I mean, we have guys in the factory that, you know, been rolling for 10 years, 15 years. You know, that's what they do. They just magically put the right amount of tobacco in the hand, roll it up, and it's just perfect every single time. It's just incredible.
I mean, but they enjoy doing it too. Like, I've heard people retire, then they'll go back into rolling cigars just because they missed it so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's literally an assembly line, like a whole factory assembly line of, okay, boom. And then, like you said, every time they put the right amount of leaves in, and they get so fast and so, you know, efficient at it. It's crazy. It's honestly crazy, you know, going to a factory and seeing all that being done.
Yeah. And it's just there's so many steps along the way, and, you know, I can proudly say that, you know, I've done every bit of manual work involved in making a cigar. You know, I came here to learn, so I was trying to do and try every single step, you know, and it's just incredible.
So the,
you know, from seed to smoke, 2 years, and the tobacco gets handled pretty much every. If not every day, every other day, you know, it is always someone doing something with it, you know?
Oh, well, it's got to be every day. I mean, that's a whole brand, so, you know.
Yes, exactly.
You can't be going out saying every other day now.
No, 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 no. Since it's almost like 6 p.m. over there, what number cigar are you on now? Is this number 7? Is this number 8?
I honestly have no idea.
You know, every other day would be a good brand for like for a very strong cigar. This way it's like, it's like you can't smoke this every day, but you can smoke every other day. You know, we're giving you ideas over here.
And for me, we need like the every hour cigar.
Yeah, that's more like it. That's an idea for a cigar name too.
Yeah, I mean, we know a guy that the moment he wakes up, he's got a cigar lit in his mouth. He's up to like 15 to 20 every day. It's absolutely crazy.
Shout out to
what?
No. I do light up my first cigar, not as soon as I wake up, but pretty close. I mean, if I do the gym, I try not to take cigars to the gym.
Yeah.
But straight after when I come back, I make my first cup of coffee, and that's how I start my day.
Absolutely. Wait, you said you tried not to take cigars.
And you haven't tried the Connecticut, but sadly, but that's a banger of a smoke.
Dang, really?
Every single day.
Honestly, I'm probably, when we all hang out after this, I'll probably smoke it next. So
I was putting off the Connecticut, honestly, just because I'm not a huge Connecticut guy. And also, I wanted to wait to smoke it kind of earlier in the day because that's when I prefer a Connecticut. But I'm actually not excited to try it.
I said the same thing. I'm not a Connecticut guy until that came about. I became the Connecticut guy.
What was great about Connecticut's is when they're good, they're really amazing. Good. Yeah, exactly. But most of the time, it's just a Connecticut, and it's like, I'm never going to smoke this again.
Yeah, usually it's too light.
Yeah, I definitely smoke them in the morning. That's like, I don't go past Connecticut in the morning.
Well, we'll see what you say when you try it.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're going to get a bunch of orders for Connecticut's in Florida.
I kid you not, there is a guy that shops from our store, and he bought already 23 times. And guess one, bought it.
The Connecticut.
Wow.
23 times.
He should have just bulk ordered it at that point. He shouldn't be.
Was he in Florida? Or where is he located?
Somewhere in the U.S.
He can't give out that information, Jared.
Mm-hmm.
We still got some left. Don't worry.
It was Jared's address. That's why he was wondering.
Don't say it on here.
Jared? I think that was Jared, though.
So for your silver line and your gold line and the white label and all that, or the white line, are they going to be different variations of wrappers too, or are you going to kind of focus in on one variation, or how is that going to go?
It depends how it pans out, because the silver line essentially is going to be either the blends we create, either the kind of overruns that we find that we deem really, really good. So if you know, we try it with a small batch and it does well, and if people want to get more, we'll see if we can do it. Sometimes you just find and it's kind of one off. So like these Lanceros, remaking them is I don't think it's gonna happen. Because it's got a history, but the sad thing is also, obviously, we won't be able to disclose majority of the details about the cigars for obvious reasons. And they're just going to be unique one-off things that are really, really great. And then we're just going to put our label on it. And the cigars that we're going to create, obviously, again, we'll see how they do. And if we think that, you know, people really, really like them, then we can expand it or just kill it off.
No, you bring up a good point too, because a lot of, pretty much every core line from a brand, if you want to keep that same flavor profile, you do have to tweak the blend, because the blend is not going to taste the same if you keep producing it the same way for years and years and years. So, I mean, Davidoff's got to change their blend every few years to keep that same, you know, flavor profile.
And it's year on year, the crop is different, the taste, the tobacco, just you know, maintaining exact same tobacco is difficult and it's very expensive. I mean, if you want to continue the exact same production, that means you need to stock up on the crazy amounts of tobacco, and tobacco ain't cheap, and it's just getting more and more expensive, and it's not by you know, every year. We're talking every month. You know, right. Prices are always fluctuating. If someone had a bad year, suddenly that jumps up. If there's, you know, readily available, the price drops down. And the thing is, when you're starting up, is obviously limited funds. You can't just go in there and buy, you know, 50 bales like some do. You know, we have to be realistic with it, but, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at your website now. When is the Silver and Gold Line brand coming out?
So Silver Line is the next one. So we almost have the blend finished that we want to launch first. But we might get, if we get the Lanceros first in the US, then might be that might be the first launch. And then from there, we're just going to keep adding the Silver Line. And the idea with the Gold Line is basically to collaborate with the big names in the industry, or the big makers like Plasencia, maybe like AJ, like someone really big, because we do know these guys here. Also, Paul has some contacts in Dominica as well. We might venture off in that side, but we will have a big name to make a cigar for us.
Absolutely.
Which obviously we would have a say in the type of blend that we want to make, but it would be an exclusive blend done for us by that big name.
Absolutely.
And do you have any idea of the price difference can be between the Silver Line and the regular line?
At this stage, I don't know, because obviously everything needs to be calculated, the raw materials and the actual cost, and bring it into the US and how much, and then obviously the profit margin of the business and the price. But it's still going to be lower than the rest, purely for the way the business operates. Mm-hmm. So you will get a, you know, $15 cigar that you would buy in a shop. It'll definitely be probably under $10 with us.
If you need anyone, you know, to help, you know, try it out, give you some feedback, you know, please let us know.
Absolutely. Once we launch, then we'll send, you know, some to try, and we can get on another podcast to discuss it. And
absolutely.
Know, I can tell you a bit more about it as how it came about and what's in there. And as much as I can give out, I will give out.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said too, I mean, the progress you're moving at is very quick. So I'm sure we'll be talking again very soon, and we'll have a lot more to talk about even then. You know, whether it's the Silver or the Silver and the Gold. You know, I mean, fantastic progress. Again, like I said earlier, it's moving very rapidly, and you know, I'm sure you're very proud of the progress you're moving at.
And well, definitely, it's not all been, you know, flowers and bees, to say the least. You know, you know, we are learning, we are progressing, we are building what's yet to come, and we're really, 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 really happy. You know, and it's just purely out of love for the tobacco, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Like we said, I mean, if you're enjoying it, then you'll never stop. You'll never want to stop.
I can't see myself doing anything else right now, to be honest at all. I'll be around for a long time.
I guess we'll have to do plenty of podcasts in the future with this guy.
That's all right.
Silver podcast, gold podcast. I'm sure there's going to be a platinum line towards the end, right?
We'll see. But yeah, so I guess we're going to wrap it up here, where it's about that time. I appreciate you very much for coming on and sharing your story. It's a very unique business model. It's a very unique brand. So if those of you listening, definitely got to check out Every Day is Cigar Day. We're going to put all the information in the description for you to check out. But thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure. It's been great talking to you. And we'll see you guys next time. All right. Take care.
Yep. See you.
Take care.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Cigar Guys podcast. Make sure you subscribe and hit that notification bell so you can stay up to date with all the latest episodes. Looking for short form content? Check out all our social media accounts in the description below. And now, a final word from our sponsors.
Crafted for the newcomer and the connoisseur, the Besa embodies excellence at every level. Each draw, a journey through rich, nuanced flavors, and a smooth, unforgettable finish. Base a cigar, where tradition meets perfection.